Hi, it's Patrick Hutzel from IntensiveCareHotline.com, where we help families of critically ill patients in intensive care to instantly improve their lives so that they can exercise power, influence decision making, and stay in control of their and their critically ill loved one's destiny. Now, in this video, I want to show you the 6-step proven process on how you can be in control and very influential if your loved one is a long-term patient in intensive care or is facing treatment limitations in intensive care. Welcome to another video in IntensiveCareHotline.com's video series. And once again, congratulations on taking action and getting informed and taking control. Just by doing that, you stand out from the crowd and from the rest of families in intensive care, and it will give you an edge when dealing with the challenges, difficulties, and complexities in intensive care. Our video series will help you find your voice, will help you to have control and power so that you can influence decision making in the jungle of complexities surrounding intensive care. If your loved one is a long-term patient in intensive care or is facing treatment limitations in intensive care, chances are that you feel outside of your comfort zone, you feel challenged, you feel vulnerable, you feel frustrated, and you feel like things are out of control. This very often once-in-a-lifetime experience in intensive care also increases the likelihood that you feel like you don't have any control, power, or influence over the situation, and that you don't have any peace of mind during this often stressful and unpleasant experience in intensive care. In order to give you more influence, power, and control regarding the decision-making process regarding the care of your critically ill loved one in intensive care, and in order for you to have more peace of mind regarding the care your critically ill loved one receives in intensive care, follow these 6 steps you are about to discover, and you will find that with the insights, the proven strategies, and the tactics you are discovering, that you will be in a much better position to feel like you are in control, that you have power, and that you can influence the situation and the outcomes. So let's dive right into the proven 6-step process on how to be in control, influential, if your loved one is a long-term patient in intensive care or is facing treatment limitations in intensive care. Number 1. Discover that accepting quickly that what has happened and what is happening to your critically ill loved one is the way it is. I know this sounds harsh, but the sooner you deal with and accept reality as it is, the sooner you can deal effectively with the issues at hand. Being a long-term patient in intensive care is an extremely stressful event and stressful situation in your critically ill loved ones, in your and in your family's life. It's never a pleasant situation to be in. However, in order to achieve control, power, influence, and peace of mind, you need to accept the realities around the situation and you need to deal with it head on. Once you've decided that you can accept those realities, you can then move on and make decisions. You will be unable to make any decisions. You won't have any control, any power, or any influence if you haven't accepted the reality that you are dealing with and that you are facing. Number 2. Discover the right questions to ask. Once again, chances are that you are in a position right now where you feel like the world is tumbling down on you. Your critically ill loved one is in intensive care and you probably haven't slept properly, you haven't eaten properly, and you are neglecting some other important areas of your and your family's life because you are spending a lot of time, if not day and night, in the intensive care unit in order to be with your critically ill loved one. Chances are that you are feeling overwhelmed by all the information you have received by the doctors and the nurses. Maybe a social worker has been involved in eliminating some of the financial worries you and your family might have. Social workers are usually pretty good in giving the right sort of advice when it comes to dealing with financial and other support issues. Some of the important questions you need to ask the nurses and the doctors in intensive care are dependent on the nature of the injuries, the nature of the diagnosis, sickness and or prognosis, etc. your critically ill loved one has been admitted with. However, a few standard questions you should always ask, and that will help you to stay in control, are: is my loved one receiving the right treatment for his or her condition? Will treatment be extended if the current treatment is ineffective? Will treatment be alternated should the current treatment be ineffective? What happens if my critically ill loved one is not improving? Will my loved one be given enough time if the road to recovery is getting delayed? Will my loved one be given the best and full treatment, even in the event of his or her condition deteriorating, or are there any treatment limitations? If there are any treatment limitations, what are they and what is the rationale for them? For more information about this very hot topic of treatment limitations and withdrawal of treatment, you can also read our special ebook or watch the video on the 5 things you need to know if the medical team in intensive care wants to limit treatment, wants to withdraw treatment or life support, or wants to issue an NFR or a not for resuscitation order for your critically ill loved one in intensive care. And just as a quick side note, some hospitals might refer to NFR or not for resuscitation also as DNR, which stands for Do Not Resuscitate. I have to stop here for a minute and talk about treatment limitations in intensive care. Treatment limitations are one of the most challenging issues in intensive care, and I also believe one of the most emotionally charged issues for all parties involved. So what are the real reasons behind treatment limitations? Is there something you and your family are unaware of, or is there something that the intensive care team is hiding from you? In case your critically ill loved one is facing any treatment limitations or withdrawal of treatment, there may or may not be a good clinical reason for it. One of the reasons could well be futility of treatment, which is treatment that is non-beneficial for a patient. But it could also be because of the negative mindset or the negativity that is prevalent in an intensive care unit. Furthermore, time and resources are very often crucial factors. Many patients in intensive care, especially after head injuries or other complications, do not improve or recover quickly, and not until weeks or sometimes months have passed after the complications or head injuries. And some intensive care units are not giving patients the necessary time to recover for a number of reasons. Resource pressures are often at the center of the decision-making process and are often taken into consideration when treatment limitations are considered, as beds in intensive care and staff in intensive care are an expensive scarcity, and therefore an empty bed in intensive care is a precious resource that can be used for the next sick patient. Or, to put it the other way around, an occupied intensive care bed with a patient who is going through a lengthy and unpredictable recovery may be perceived as an expensive resource. Whether there is or there isn't a good clinical indication or a good clinical reason for treatment limitations, you, as your loved one's next of kin, and your family need to be fully informed about and involved in the reasoning behind any treatment limitations, withdrawal of treatment, and or NFR not for resuscitation discussions. The intensive care unit that you are dealing with is having a policy in place when it comes to treatment limitations and when it comes to NFR, which is a not for resuscitation order. You or your critically ill loved one in intensive care, if conscious and in a position to make his or her own decisions, must be fully informed and consented about any treatment limitations that may be put in place. Do not hesitate to ask this very question about treatment limitations or withdrawal of treatment and what the process regarding the limitation is. It very often requires a signature and consent of the next of kin or the patient themselves. The decision-making process around treatment limitations or withdrawal of treatment can be ethically, morally, and legally challenging for all parties involved. It's often presented to families of critically ill patients in intensive care in what may be in your critically ill loved one's quote-unquote best interest. And I repeat that. It's often presented to families of critically ill patients in what may be in your critically ill loved one's quote-unquote best interest. If there are treatment limitations that you, your family, and your critically ill loved one, if conscious, do not agree with, ask for another meeting with the most senior intensive care consultant or physician, and also seek a second opinion. And most of all, do take your time to think thoroughly about what you, your family, and your critically ill loved one would want if he or she was in a position to make their own decisions. Do not rush into making any decisions. Take your time and don't let the intensive care staff pressure you into making a decision. Unfortunately, in more than 15 years intensive care nursing in 3 different countries, I have seen many situations where the intensive care team has pressurized families of critically ill patients by painting a doom and gloom picture of their critically ill loved one's prognosis and diagnosis. Whereas, in reality, the intensive care team's negative positioning and negative framing of the situation is a direct result of the financial budget of the intensive care unit, a negative mindset and a negative culture in the intensive care unit, not being prepared to do whatever it takes to get your critically ill loved one on their way to recovery. Other patients awaiting admission to intensive care and therefore competition for scarce and precious ICU beds. Your critically ill loved one not fitting some other criteria that would warrant a continuation of treatment from the intensive care team's point of view. For example, your critically ill loved one's case might not fit some research criteria that the ICU is currently involved in and gets monetary funding for. Therefore, other cases who do fit the research criteria might get preferred treatment. Most of the decision-making process, however, is based upon the current mindset prevalent in intensive care or in the intensive care unit that your critically ill loved one is currently at. And also, it's also dependent on what people think is possible within intensive care. Mindsets in intensive care units are different and can range from positive to negative, from yes, we can do, to no, we can't do. Pay close attention to those either positive or negative mindsets, because the intensive care team's mindset can make all the difference. In any case, if you are in doubt that the right and correct processes are being followed, you should ask for the hospital or the intensive care unit's policy regarding treatment limitations. Do not hesitate to do so, should you have any concerns regarding the care and the treatment of your critically ill loved one. If your loved one is unconscious, and if you are reading this, chances, or if you're watching this, chances are that your critically ill loved one is not in a position to make his or her own choices. You want to make sure that you understand the very process, the legalities, and the framework around the decision-making process. Go and ask for the hospital or intensive care unit policy regarding treatment limitations, and in some instances for the end-of-life care policy. You want to have peace of mind that in such an important, unique, and often once-in-a-lifetime situation in your and in your family's life, you understand the implications those crucial decisions have on your family's, and on your critically ill loved one's life. Number 3. Discover that what may be in your critically ill loved one's best interest from a hospital or intensive care unit point of view may actually not be in your critically ill loved one's best interest. Look, you have come to intensivecarehotline.com because you are looking for answers. Whilst I can't give you all the answers, I believe I can give you useful advice and insight based on more than 14 or 15 years international intensive care nursing experience in 3 different countries. As I mentioned before, being a long-term patient in intensive care is a very challenging situation to be in. And I have mentioned before that sometimes intensive care staff may perceive a situation a certain way because this is the way they do things around here and this is the way they perceive things to be. Different intensive care units have different ways of doing things and they have different ways of looking at things. They usually differ in their approach towards critical issues, especially when it comes to long-term patients and to treatment limitations. It's a bit like the glass half full versus the glass half empty analogy. The intensive care units with the glass half full mentality have a far more positive outlook on your critically ill loved one's recovery versus the glass half empty ICUs. I have seen both approaches in different intensive care units. The ICUs with the glass half full mentality will usually be more open and more compassionate towards your concerns regarding the long-term prognosis of your critically ill loved one. They are usually also pretty good and open in communicating treatment limitation issues with you, and they usually consider your opinion. They generally opt for full disclosure of all processes and they are transparent. The ICUs with the glass half empty approach usually have a far more negative outlook on your critically ill loved one's recovery. They usually present the situation in a very matter-of-fact approach that is usually based on a scarcity and a black-and-white mindset. They usually will have standard answers to your questions that are based on their limited and negative mindset, and they do not necessarily address your individual concerns and questions regarding the prognosis, the diagnosis, and the ongoing treatment of your critically ill loved one. Their goal is often to keep you at arm's length so that you don't have control, power and influence. Those intensive care units tend not to follow open disclosure, and they are often not transparent in their decision-making process. Also, the intensive care units with the glass half-empty approach are not all that great when it comes to discussing treatment options and or treatment limitations. Those limitations might, in some instances, already be documented without seeking the discussion and without seeking the approval and consent from you in the first place. It's often a case of how we do things around here, and we don't really want you to ask too many difficult questions, because at the end of the day, we, the intensive care unit, know what's best and we know what we are doing. This, in essence, is an illegal process, and the intensive care unit are breaching many laws and legalities around the end of life process. Your job in those difficult circumstances is to not take no for an answer, and you need to continue to be difficult and demanding, because if you're not, the intensive care team will walk all over you and your family, because there are just too many other moving parts behind the scenes that you have no awareness about, that most of the time influences the intensive care team's decision-making process. Your job is to make sure that the intensive care team has really acted in your critically ill loved one's best interest and has not acted out of self-interest, because they have competing interests, because of bed pressures and because of competing research interests, for example. Number 4. Discover that being a long-term patient in intensive care is challenging, and that despite the challenges of being a long-term patient in intensive care, your critically ill loved one can actually get better. Look, being a long-term patient in intensive care is a challenge. There is no doubt about it. However, depending on the intensive care team's outlook, mindset, and also depending on the moving parts in an intensive care unit that are happening behind the scenes, some intensive care units are simply putting more efforts and resources towards some critically ill patients, even though it means that they might go through a lengthy and prolonged recovery. It also means that those intensive care units tend to be more patient and family focused. I have also seen many critically ill patients in intensive care where the intensive care team wasn't prepared to give some critically ill patients a fair go, because other competing interests, such as the financial viability of treating a patient or other patients awaiting admission to an already fully occupied intensive care unit, have taken the upper hand in the battle for scarce resources. Furthermore, sometimes intensive care units also have a shortage of staff, whether it be doctors or nurses, and they therefore have difficulties in filling some of their shifts. As a rule of thumb, if you can sense that the intensive care unit has a staffing shortage or even a staffing crisis, you may start wondering why this may be the case. I can almost guarantee you that an intensive care unit with a staffing crisis is having lots of challenges retaining their staff. And I can, again, almost guarantee you that the reasons are rooted in a negative culture. And as I have highlighted in other videos and ebooks, a negative culture in an intensive care unit, generally speaking, reflects negatively on patient care as well. Coming back to being a long-term patient in intensive care, there are certainly many challenges that would have to be considered, and some of them that stand out are: depression for your loved one and for your family. No or very little quality of life. Lack of privacy. Lack of dignity. Confusion and agitation of your loved one. Lack of day and night rhythm. Uncertain outcomes. The time spent by families in intensive care when their loved one is a long-term patient can be taking up a lot of time and energy, and families therefore are suffering as well. Little moral and practical support available for families of the long-term critically ill patients. Despite all the challenges that I just mentioned, if you feel and if you think that ongoing treatment for your critically ill loved one is the right thing to do, irrespective of the doom and gloom of the intensive care team, and irrespective of the possibility that the intensive care team is positioning your critically ill loved one's prognosis and diagnosis in a negative light, then you should push forward. I can tell you that I have seen many families over the years who wanted to have their critically ill loved one treated, irrespective of all the doom and gloom, and irrespective of the negative positioning of the intensive care team. Because it's the families who know their critically ill loved one best. And it's the families who know how their loved one can deal with adversity despite all the clinical facts that the intensive care team will continue to point out. Number 5. Discover that every patient in intensive care is different and that you can never compare one patient with another. Many patients go through intensive care every single day, all around the world. This means a variety of clinical pictures, but it also means a variety of very different individuals. No patient is similar to another patient. Patients might look similar from the outset, and they might have things in common, such as gender, age, and they may well present with similar clinical pictures. However, they may vary greatly in their personalities, in their coping strategies, how they deal with adversity, and this very often can make all the difference. I have witnessed in some instances that some patients with similar clinical pictures, similar age, and similar gender, receiving similar treatment, varied greatly in their recovery. Some patients died quickly, whereas others miraculously survived their ordeal. Moral of the story: withhold your judgment, as anything can happen, and anything is possible, positive and negative. Intensive care is a very unpredictable and volatile environment. Listen to what your gut is telling you. Your gut never lies. The doctors and the nurses might be telling you that your critically ill loved one has a poor prognosis, and you might think and you might feel that your critically ill loved one can generally deal well with adversity. The doctors and the nurses can be very academic and also very judgmental in their approach, and they often do not consider their intuition and or their gut feeling. Moreover, they don't know your critically ill loved one personally, whereas you do know your critically ill loved one, and this can make all the difference. Has your critically ill loved one been in difficult situations before? How well does your critically ill loved one deal with setbacks generally? If you are positive that your critically ill loved one is somebody who can beat the odds, then your job is to let the intensive care team know that, irrespective of what clinical prognosis your critically ill loved one has been admitted with, if he or she can beat the odds. Number 6. Discover that truth is a very thin concept in intensive care. We all strive to learn the truth about something. It gives us satisfaction having cracked the code on something. Chances are that if your critically ill loved one is a long-term patient in intensive care, you haven't found the truth as yet. Intensive care is a very challenging, unpredictable, and volatile environment. Tight deadlines, dealings with life and death are some of the grim realities the intensive care staff are dealing with every day. Everybody is challenged on a moral and an ethical level. There is also the reward side, which can be massive, and that reward side is directly linked to somebody's truth. Many staff in intensive care, including myself, find it very rewarding working in such a challenging environment. The intensive care staff find reward in helping people in need. They also find reward in helping people getting better. But they also find reward in helping people on their last journey. Having been part of a successful recovery of a critically ill patient in intensive care is a fantastic experience and a blessing. But everybody who has been part of a tragic death and who has been involved in end-of-life care can find massive rewards there too. If you can be part of making that last part of somebody's life journey dignified and private, and also help the family to come to terms with the inevitable, and if I can help the family finding peace of mind with their loved one's last journey, it's a tremendous privilege to be part of. Truth, therefore, is a very thin concept, and the less you can think in black and white terms, the better this serves you and your family in your journey through the intensive care landscape. This landscape can be very rugged, full of steep climbs with wind, rain, and snow. Sometimes no sunshine for many days. But there is always hope. Even if your critically ill loved one in intensive care is not getting better, and maybe your loved one is even approaching their end of life in intensive care, go and find some meaning in it. What is the meaning behind the tragedy? I can't answer that question for you, but I believe that you can. Don't forget to shine the light on what is important for you, for your critically ill loved one, and for your family during this difficult time in your life, and more importantly, challenge the intensive care team on every level if you feel like your critically ill loved one is not getting the care they deserve. I really hope that this video has served you well, and I really hope that you have gained even more insight of how you can effectively deal with your fears, frustrations, your struggles, your vulnerability, and how you can turn the situation around so that you feel powerful, in control, influential, so that you are mentally well positioned and mentally strong to deal with adversity. Hopefully, I was able to elevate your thinking and also to lift your spirits. I also hope that I will see you in our other ebooks or videos so that you can find even more strength, more power, more energy, greater influence, and also hope in your challenging journey through the intensive care landscape. For more information on a variety of topics within intensive care for families, check out more of our reports, ebooks, and videos And also read our blog for more tips and strategies, and also check out our Your Questions Answered section. Find the links in the text version of this video. You can also send me an email to support@intensivecarehotline.com with your questions. Thank you for watching this video, and thank you for being part of intensivecarehotline.com. This is Patrick Hutzel from intensivecarehotline.com, and I'll see you again in another one of our videos. Thank you.